ladder the shadows and find that eventually. There we are, where we are, and what we are is still family.
Most people know Michael Chabon as the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, and most people know his wife, Ayelet Waldman, as the controversial essayist who once ruffled feathers by claiming she was more in love with her husband than her kids. But behind this couple's high-profile literary careers is a very real family, with two parents, four kids, and, as Ayelet writes in her book Bad Mother, her own mental illness. Ayelet and Michael are here with us to share their story of raising a family when mom has bipolar disorder. Good morning, and thanks to both of you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about in your book, Ayelet, but halfway through this book, you let readers know that you have bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hesitate before you revealed that?
In retrospect, I definitely felt anxious, and I felt sort of almost a little sick to my stomach because, you know, mental illness in this country is still something that is this shameful, horrible secret. But I did it on purpose. I did it almost as a political decision as much as a personal one because I resent the fact that mental illness is treated like a shameful secret and not like, you know, it's like, but having bipolar disorder is like having any other chronic illness. You manage it with medication. You see your doctor regularly. Sometimes it, kind of blossoms out of control and you need to treat it more aggressively. Sometimes you handle it really well. I have a friend who has Crohn's disease, and I sometimes think that her disease and my disease in terms of the treatment and the kind of experience of having it are very similar. The big difference is the guilt and the shame, and that was kind of the thing that made me write about it because I want to do like my small part to alleviate some of that guilt and shame. And the letters that I like to get the most are the ones from people who email me and say, you know, I have bipolar disorder. I've never told anyone. Thank you for being so open about it. Thank you for making me feel like this isn't something I have to be humiliated about.
Well, Michael, it sounds like you're kind of used to your wife being really open about all aspects of your personal life.
Yeah, but when in your marriage did she disclose to you that she was bipolar, Michael?
Well, you know, I don't think that is actually kind of a diagnosis and a discovery that we made together, in a sense. I mean, I don't think when we met, that was definitely not part of what Ayelet knew about herself. I mean, she had all kinds of
I just thought I was really moody.
Yeah.
Really,
I mean, really moody. And in a way, maybe that's all it amounts to in the end, too. There's a certain amount of, like, you know, trying to stay on top of things by labeling them and naming them and then branching out from there to try to find something to do about it. But it was a process that we went through of trying to figure out just what to call this and how to cope with it.
But I mean, I know that there's certain things that I talk to my kids about, like, you know, don't go and bother dad when he's watching the football game because that's bad. So how did you approach this with your kids? How do you explain this to them?
I mean, I don't know that I would have ever gotten treatment if I didn't have all these kids, because the reason I get treatment is for my family. I don't honestly think that, you know, it's better for me too in many ways, but really the reason that I get treatment is to protect them, and because, you know, I don't want to put Michael and the kids through more than they have to go through. But the wonderful thing that Michael has done for our kids, we both try to be really honest with them about it,
right,
so that they can go to him and they can say, mommy's being mean, or mommy's being crazy, or mommy's in a terrible mood, and he gives them support. So that one of the things growing up, my dad was pretty much more seriously affected by bipolar disorder than I am, and one of the things that was hard in our house is that nobody ever talked about it, so you kind of felt like you were the crazy one, and you were dealing with it all by yourself. And Michael's been really amazing about making sure that the kids know that this is not their problem. They didn't do this, and if I'm kind of in a tornado, they didn't cause it. It's not their responsibility to deal with it. This is my problem and not theirs. And then they can always go to him and talk about it and complain about it.
And also, Ayelet is very good about being forthcoming and forthright, and also, you know, acknowledging afterwards, apologizing. Just, you know, it's just sort of a topic for conversation in the family, more than it is anything else. I mean,
but what happens about bringing it outside the family? Do you ever worry? I mean, you've written this book in which you're sharing this with the world. Do you ever think, you know, maybe my kids would have preferred it if we'd kept this a family conversation rather than an international
one? We check with them all the time.
But also, I think in this case, that would be the wrong choice to make. I mean, I don't think it's okay to let something like this to treat it like it is some kind of horrible, shameful secret that must only be whispered about in the family. I think it weakens your children to do that. It puts them in a weaker position in life. I think it by equipping them with the tools to talk about it, and then also by acknowledging that it's something, you know, that you, the hand that you get dealt, and both for Ayelet and then for people who love Ayelet, and all over the world, there are all these other families that are struggling with all kinds of other issues that are just the hands that they get dealt. That, you know, it's just, it's not that big a deal, really. And you, as soon as you start talking about it, that's kind of what you find out, I think, is that it's not that big a deal.
But, you know, you guys are so sweet about the way you're talking about this together. I'm sure it's probably a little more chaotic when you're over at your house.
Well, you know, right?
Yeah, exactly, sure.
But reigns.
It's a little what you're both describing is what writers do. You take things and make them something of an adventure that everyone talks about and you know, turn it into your identity.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's really true.
And you verge on, you know, a lot of the time, especially when you're first embarking on talking about something, on writing about something, you know, you can have that sense of like, whoa, do I really want to go here? Like, if I say this, if I put this into a story, or if I make a novel out of this experience or whatever it might be, everyone's going to know about it. Or if I'm inventing it, everyone's going to think that it happened to me, and they'll think I'm talking about myself or my family. That's where the power, and that's where the sense of shared humanity and shared experience comes from, is when realizing that you're not the only one.
Michael Chabon, author of The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, and a new collection of essays called Manhood for Amateurs, and Ayelet Waldman, author of Bad Mother, A Chronicle of Maternal Crimes, Minor Calamities, and Occasional Moments of Grace.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.